The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to the Bite by Bite. He's Michael Coleman, the CEO of the Heart of Alabama Food Bank, HAFB. You can hashtag that, of course, find everything they're up to. And, of course, HAFB.org, their wonderful website. They cover 35 counties, the great state of Alabama. And, of course, this is one of two shows that Michael actually does on Tony Curry Radio. Of course, our other being Mission Minded. You can hear that right before the show right here. We got into a little bit last week, Mike, pretty interesting stuff, too. Why is there a persistent need for food banking? And I bring this up almost every single week. You always bring these really broad general, well, of course we know why there's a persistent need for food banking. Why are you asking that question? But you always have something else deeper below that we need to look at. And you got into three or four of these ideas, but you still have a couple more to get into. So please explain those to us.
Yeah. So just, you know, we touched on some economic inequality, some underemployment, unemployment issues, just some things that happened. Of course, the greatest push on that is the rising cost of food, and food doesn't tend to go up and down like our gas does. We think, okay, the gas shoots up, comes back down. Our food tends to stay higher. And look, all of us have gone in there now, and I shop at Publix. Publix is a great supporter of the Food Bank Network, and I go shopping there. But they're like every other grocery store. I walk out of there sometimes, and I've spent $100, but I can carry everything in the bags in my hands, in both hands. So it's just absolutely amazing. But a lot of people do come back and go, okay, you're on this journey to stop food insecurity, to eliminate hunger. Is that realistic? And look, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think eliminating poverty is a realistic thing. You and I both talk about being people of faith. Scriptures, you know, Jesus himself said, you know, the poor is going to always be with you. But I love the goal of working towards eliminating as much poverty and as much food insecurity and hunger, because though it matters to those, you know, it's the old picture of the starfish. I'm sure everybody's saying there's a million starfish. The kid's walking with his dad, throws one out into the water. Dad goes, oh, that's not going to make any difference. And it makes a difference to the one I throw back. And so we really look at it like that. If I can eliminate the persistent need in one family's life and eliminate that childhood trauma in one child's, it does make a difference. Well, to understand, I get it. If you're not in this game and maybe you're being asked to support or there's, you know, be involved, people say, well, why can't we overcome it? Why is the need persistent? And there's so many variables. We don't always have high inflation. Matter of fact, we went decades to where inflation stayed below 3%. But the last few years have really hit us hard. And so we're seeing a lot of families, because if you think about it, you have enough to make it, and now all of a sudden everything costs more. Now you don't have enough to make it. And that's the bottom line. It's not that you're doing anything less or anything different. It's these outside circumstances that continue to change. And so, but there's some other things I wanted to talk about. You have social safety net gaps. And one of the things I talk about is that we are kind of a social safety net for food. We would love to think that if your neighbor doesn't have enough food, that you share. I remember my grandmother telling me a story about her dad. So it's my great-grandfather, never knew him. His name was Bob Lee, lived in Lowndes County. Said he was feeding five families out of his garden.
Oh.
And that was very common back then, where you had a lot of poverty, a lot of people, you know, had to grow their own stuff. Now, he did not have a huge farm, but he had a pretty big garden. And so as he would get stuff, it was always like, well, we've got all these peas, so I'm going to take this bushel to this family, this bushel to that family. You just thought about your neighbor. Well, we just live in a different world. Most of us eat out most meals. We don't have the home gardening. We don't share a lot. We don't even know our neighbors most of the time and know what they're suffering with or what they're battling. So when you think about the social safety nets, food stamps or SNAP, supplemental nutrition, program, we think, well, that's what SNAP is for. It takes care of that. But, you know, there are seniors in Alabama who are getting less than $25 a month who qualify for SNAP. but really there's not enough there. Yeah. And Alabama is one of the things we're on the very low end or on social benefits and social safety nets. And so what happens is when somebody is missing food, they end up going to a pantry. And of course the pantries are sourced by us. And so they turn to our network to be able to get that when those social safety nets don't have. So I kind of look at us as part of that woven into the social safety net. And I've talked to people in that, because where do people go when you're hungry and you don't have family or you don't have close friends? You turn to people, benevolent organizations like churches or food pantries or wherever you can to be able to make up that difference. There's also a challenge with a lot of food waste. Now I talk about this very proudly that about 4.7 billion pounds of food a year are rescued by the Feeding America Network. And so we are very proud about, we can get fruit and vegetables and things like that, and dairy that otherwise would be disposed of. And we bring it through our network and get it redistributed out. But there's still tons of it that are, and it's just such a huge challenge. You know that you and I grew up where, well, we had to clean our plates. Why? Because there were kids in Africa who were hungry. You know, we got that guilt trip. And I'm like, well, you know, here, let's box up these English peas and send them to them. Because I sure don't want them. But it's one of the things that's a challenge for us, though, is just partnering with corporations. So we have a fruit distribution company here in Montgomery. And of course, they want to sell as much as they can. So sometimes they wait and they'll call us on a Friday and say, I have 5 pallets of food to donate. Well, we can't get 5 pallets of bananas out in one afternoon on a Friday before the weekend. And then by the time it rolls around Monday or Tuesday, they're spoiled.
Yeah.
So that food goes to waste. So it's constantly one of the things we're trying to do is talk with donors and sourcers and say, hey, the quicker you can get it into our hands, the quicker we can distribute it out and eliminate that waste. But it's so that's something on the sourcing end that we're constantly working towards.
And Michael, is that a problem? Is that an issue? I mean, that would probably have to be priority wise. I mean, you don't ever want to waste anything, particularly when you have people willing to give it to you. But is that a problem?
It is. One of the things that we've tried to do to overcome it, so I'll just use this particular company without mentioning their name. One of the things I said was, look, what do you do with when you realize you've got more fruit than you can sell? And one of the things they said was, we ship it out to other food companies. Like, we'll send a truckload of bananas out to this daiquiri maker in Louisiana because he can have more ripe bananas. It doesn't matter.
Sure.
And I'm like, okay, well, instead of paying for that shipping, why don't you, when you realize you have that, why don't you call us? We'll pay you the same price. It's a reduced price, but we'll pay you for some of those. And then you can donate some and we'll pay you for some, but we'll get them quicker than if you're trying to sell them at the last minute. So we try all sorts of little things, building relationships with the donors, making them aware that, hey, we want them. But when you hit us up on a Friday morning, it's tough because to go get five, we have to send a truck over, bring it over. But then we also have to connect to our agencies who most of them serve on Friday and just get it out to people. And it's just by the time Monday rolls around, it's too late. The bananas are not worth distributing out.
Yeah.
And so it's a constant challenge to stay on top of is what it is, because it's like the whole whack-a-mole game. That's the way it is in sourcing. So, you know, you got, okay, here, we got to get more fresh fruit. We focus on that. And then all of a sudden it pops up over here with our vegetables and we have to go over here and whack this mole over here.
Do you have a resurfacing of, I think about my mom, My mom never threw anything away. If it had green on it, she just cut the green off and then she'd serve it to the next person. And you talk about bananas. She would have these bananas that were as black as bananas get. I mean, you couldn't even tell if we were eating the peelings or not, but we were going to eat those bananas. And she was always, and then even then she'd freeze those black bananas and she'd use them for, you know, pudding or whatever. Is that something that a food bank can reservice things? Okay, well, obviously if we don't use this now, is there something we can turn it? In other words, you know, okay, we're going to go ahead and turn this into a casserole. Is there something you can do there too?
Yeah, well, that's one of the things we do with our meat. So a lot of meat that we get, and this comes from the USDA, as long as it gets frozen before the expiration date, it's fine.
Okay.
So we get a lot of meat donations that protein, and that's key, that we couldn't otherwise get out, but we're able to freeze that. It's tougher on the fresh produce because then you're talking about if you have a very limited amount of people who would get it. And the second thing is then it takes up storage to try to do it. So we try to move it. One of the things we do is There's fees. We do not charge. It's really semantics. We don't charge for donated food, but we can charge shared handling fees that help us pay for our electricity and labor and all that by the pound. But we eliminate those fees on anything that can go bad. So anything on dairy that we have to turn around quickly, we eliminate any barrier. So it's like, hey, come get all you want. Here's all the fresh produce. Here's all the fresh vegetables. Here's all the dairy. Come get it and get it out. All you gotta do is come pick it up.
Yeah.
The other thing I would talk about, and I'll just finish with this, is the natural disasters.
Mm.
You know, we are in tornado country, and every year we're going to get hit by several tornadoes, and we're going to get hit probably by a hurricane or two, or be affected by it. In Selma last year, which is already a poor community, a third of the community was wiped out because of the tornadoes that went through there. And so you have a natural disaster creates immediate need. So we have to take food that would otherwise go out to the network. Now you've created a short-term shortage of food that would go out to other people who need it, like seniors and children and all that kind of stuff. So That's why the persistence is there, is because you have all these variables working against you, and you can overcome some of those variables. But from unemployment to underemployment to lack of safety net to health issues that come up to natural disasters to food shortages, just on and on and on. There's things working against us to be able to overcome the persistence. So the persistence is there. If it were not for us fighting that, the impact would be devastating. If the food banking system went away, communities would be devastated. And I don't think we have any idea. And the truth of the matter is, I didn't really fully understand before I came here and got deeply involved in it. So for those in our audience, if you're in our area, we'd love your help. But if you're not in our area, I invite you to connect with your local food bank and volunteer and help and get involved and financially support if you can, because they are truly keeping families afloat right now.
This is Bite by Bite.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.